The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we had some blowouts this weekend in the first week of college football. I mean, not really shocking because the majority of the good teams were playing shit teams, so that usually equals ass kickings all the way. But man, we had some ass kickings. So Georgia smashed Clemson 34-3, and that actually was one of the matchups where it could have been close because, you know, Clemson, they used to be a legit team, but this game, they did not show up at all. That was a terrible showing from them, and Georgia just completely obliterated them from start to finish. So not a good showing from Clemson. Then Miami smashed Florida 41-17. I mean, Florida just looked terrible. Miami looked really freaking good. We'll see if that's legit or not. But that was a pretty crazy outcome. Then, of course, my Texas Longhorns, they obliterated Colorado State 52-0. Then Alabama obliterated Western Kentucky 63-0. Oh, and if you thought the 50s and 60s weren't enough, well, let's get into the 70s. We've got Ole Miss smashing Furman 76-0. So it was a high-scoring affair throughout the majority of the weekend. One of the few close matchups we had ended up being Notre Dame versus Texas A&M. Notre Dame just eked out the win 23-13 in that one, so that one actually ended up being a close one. But the, probably the best game of the weekend ended up being USC versus LSU. USC went on a game-winning drive and just snatched this one away from LSU last night, 27-20. And that was definitely the best matchup of the weekend because it was just LSU pretty much was dominating this game. And then all of a sudden this last drive happened and USC literally just took this game away from them. So first weekend of college football is in the – well, there's a game today, but it's almost the week one is almost complete. So we'll see where everybody ends up in the rankings. But I don't think a lot of change is going to be happening in the rankings this week. All right, moving on to baseball and my rankings, the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week. We do have us, not only do we have us a new number one, but we have a couple of teams that have slid down a little bit. We've got a team that's starting to, they've been surging for the most part, but now they've cracked a top five, and they are looking pretty legit to me. But mostly the same usual suspects here, but let's begin with our new number one this week, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 82-55, so yep, they have hit that 80-win plateau on the season. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Baltimore Orioles and the Arizona Diamondbacks, so two solid teams. And it's really still the starting pitching is very, very shaky for this team. They really haven't got a lot of consistency lately out of their pitching overall. But, I mean, the offense is where it's all at. Otani, Betts, Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, and Will Smith. These guys are just pretty unstoppable at this moment. So, the Dodgers, they're out of the usual teams that we've got at the top here right now, the Dodgers are probably the hottest here. And they look pretty solid. Like I said, it's their pitching that's been pretty shaky for the most part here. But offensively, there are zero issues. And like I said, this team's got 82 wins on the season. And they have the best record in Major League Baseball. So they got to be put up at one, especially with how the Yankees and the Orioles aren't playing that well right now. And we'll get to them once we get to their spot in the rankings. Then moving up to number two this week on the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings at the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 81-56, and they are also 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat two good teams as well. They took out the Houston Astros, and they also took out their division rivals, the Atlanta Braves. So the Phillies seem to be back on track. I didn't think we had to really worry about them, but I mean, they did slump for about a month there, but they seem to be back on track. But I mean, you look at this starting pitching lineup, I feel like the starting pitching for the Phillies is easily the best in the league, just because right now, three of their starting pitchers have reached over the 10-win mark. You've got Wheeler, who's got 13 wins. You've got Nola with 12 wins and Suarez with 11. And then you have Christopher Sanchez right now, who's just come out of nowhere. He's got 9 wins on the season, so he's almost hitting that 10-win mark. This starting pitching for the Phillies is phenomenal. And then the offense is starting to get going. Baum did just suffer an injury over the weekend. Doesn't look like it's going to end up being serious because they really need him. I mean, he's been one of the most consistent hitters for them all season, and he's really having a career year. So they're going to need him. But Trey Turner's really starting to step it up. Harper's starting to get back to his old Harper ways. And Schwarber, you know, he's still knocking him out of the park. But it's really this starting pitching lineup that, man, the Phillies, they boast one of the top starting pitching lineups in the league. And it's going to be really difficult for anybody to score against them once the playoffs roll around. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, falling a little bit this week, the New York Yankees, overall record of 79-58. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. And this past week, they lost a series to the Washington Nationals and to the St. Louis Cardinals. These are two pretty awful teams. I mean, especially the Nationals. Cardinals are a mid-level team, but I don't really think this is going to be a playoff team. So this is not a good week from the Yankees. They just really haven't been able to get it going offensively. Even Judge has had a quiet week. And so with him having a quiet week, that usually translates into not many wins for the Yankees. But keeping out on the Aaron Judge watch for his Triple Crown. Right now, he is still behind Bobby Witt Jr. with batting average. He's batting .327. Bobby Witt's at .340, so he's still there. But there's a month left to go in baseball. And like I keep saying, Witt has to fall off really terribly for Judge, I feel, to overtake that spot. But he still leads in the category of home runs with 51. And he also leads in the category of RBI with 123. So he's still mashing him. He did, like I said, have a quiet week, if you will. And that's why just the Yankees, they just did not have a good week. I mean, they actually played a pretty solid game yesterday against St. Louis. It was really just back and forth. But it was a quiet week for Judge, which means not a lot of wins translated for the Yankees there. Then moving down even further on the list this week on the top 10 MLB power rankings at 4, I have the Baltimore Orioles, overall record of 79-59. They are also 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Dodgers, but took the series over the Colorado Rockies. And they're kind of in the same space with the Yankees, where they have these down moments and up moments, and they're both kind of seem to still be finding their way, but I mean, they're still right there. In line for the playoffs, obviously. It just hasn't really been a good couple of weeks for the Orioles right now. And it's still, you know, good for them that they beat the Rockies, but the Rockies are a terrible team. The Dodgers pretty much obliterated their asses, so that was probably a wake-up call for them this week. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is continuing to surge, the Houston Astros. They have an overall record of 75-62, and they are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Phillies, but they just swept the Royals over the weekend. And Yordan Alvarez is just getting back into form as well. He's batting a .314 on the season with 30 home runs and 73 RBI. This is his, I believe, 5th season in a row where he's had 30 home runs. So the guy just continues to mash at an exceptional rate. The starting pitching is starting to get a little bit better for the Astros here. They're starting to look a lot more consistent there. And that's what they really need to make a playoff run here. But like I keep saying, this is probably the last team that a lot of teams want to see in the postseason, including in the National League. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers, overall record of 80-57. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Francisco Giants and the Cincinnati Reds. And their rookie, Jackson Churio, he is just having a great year, batting a .277 with 17 home runs and 63 RBI. He's also making some really big plays defensively as well. So the Brewers, they're pretty decent team. I don't know how they're going to do once the postseason rolls around, because I kind of feel like this is an obvious postseason team since their division is pretty much locked down right now at this point. But I don't know if I trust them. And we'll see what they've got. I mean, they've got a lot of solid players. It's just, are they going to be able to be consistent in the postseason once that rolls around? But they do have a month to kind of shape out this team and hopefully get it together for a solid run in the postseason. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks. Overall record of 77-60. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the New York Mets, and then they also lost a series to the Dodgers. So not a really good week for the Diamondbacks, but they're still doing pretty well. I mean, right now they still lead the league in runs with 743 runs. So they've led the league in the last, 3-ish, 4 weeks. And that says a lot because they are still missing a lot of their core guys. But a guy they picked up in the offseason was Eugenio Suarez. Always fuck up that dude's name. But anyway, Suarez, he's been having a great year, 22 home runs, 85 RBI on the season. He actually leads the team in RBI, so that says a lot with what they've got going on there, especially with Marte in the lineup there. But he's been on the injured list the last couple of weeks, so Suarez has been able to catch up there. But overall, the Diamondbacks are playing excellent baseball other than this past week. But, I mean, overall, I pretty much expect to see this team in the postseason. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 78-61. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the St. Louis Cardinals, and they took the series over the Tampa Bay Rays. And right now, Manny Machado is really starting to get going. He's batting a .274 with 23 home runs and 83 RBI. He's starting to take over all of the top spots for the San Diego Padres right now, also playing very well defensively and starting to look like the old Manny Machado. And, I mean, he looks real healthy. And so I kind of look at this Padres team, and if they just are able to keep it going, you really got to watch out for them. And then, of course, their rookie, Jackson Merrill, he is having a phenomenal year, batting a .289 with 21 home runs, 79 RBI, also making big plays defensively. So I look at this Padres team as a potential threat, especially because they have a pretty deep starting pitching unit. They're able to get it going offensively. It's just, are they going to be able to really put it together? Because we all know that the Padres tend to fall apart. Even if they do have a solid regular season, they tend to fall apart during the postseason. So we'll see if they're able to maintain that and kind of keep it going for the next month. Then number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the team that's been hit hardest by the injury bug, but definitely is still there, is the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 74-63. They've been 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Minnesota Twins and lost the series to their division rivals, the Philadelphia Phillies. And I mean, this team, it's just, they're so weird. They tend to put it together at some points, but then they completely fall apart in other points. But right now, the Braves are actually on the upside of things. And I mean, they're getting production from two guys who I don't think any of us predicted would have been leading their club in all of these categories. But basically, Chris Sale has not only been the best pitcher on this team, but you look at Chris Sale's numbers, he's definitely got to be in the Cy Young conversation, I feel, at this point. He's got 15 wins, a .258 ERA, and 196 strikeouts on the season. Like, who thought Chris Sale was going to be doing that? I pretty much thought Chris Sale was done about 3 years ago, and here he is having a Cy Young competitive season. I expect him to at least finish in the top 3 for the Cy Young, if not win the whole damn thing, because he has been one of the most consistent pitchers from start to finish. He's been pretty much the only shining star for the Braves other than Marcell Ozuna, who's also having a career year, batting a .306, 37 home runs, and 98 RBI on the season. So, I mean, you look at these two guys, and I pretty much thought both of them were done a minute ago, and here they are having career years, really carrying this team. I don't know if the Braves have what it takes to actually win a World Series this year, because they are just missing so many of their core guys, and injuries have just killed them all year, and they really haven't been able to get any level of consistency. But at the same time, we do still have a month left of baseball. And if you are able to just really put on a good show the last month, there's been a lot of teams that have done that and then ended up winning the World Series in the end. So I feel like the Braves have the potential to do it, but we got to see if they get any level of consistency at some point this month. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Cleveland Guardians, overall record of 78-59. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Kansas City Royals, but took the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they are just, of course, Jose Ramirez, he's their dude. He's been driving in the home runs all season long, and he actually ended up hitting his career 250th home run earlier this week. So, you know, here he is continuing to mash, continuing to be the biggest source of offense on this team. But, I mean, the Guardians have been so inconsistent. Like I keep saying, I wouldn't be shocked if the Royals end up taking the top spot over them in the division. But, I mean, we still have a month. So the Guardians are, if the Guardians are able to hang on, I would not be that surprised. But they're starting pitching, very suspect. Pretty much everybody outside of Ramirez is pretty sus, and Class A, of course, are pretty much suspect. So those are pretty much their only two consistent guys at this point in time. And then just in a little other baseball news, you know, the Chicago White Sox season has been one of the worst seasons on record, and it just continues to get worse. Over the weekend, the Chicago White Sox lost their 107th game of the season, and that actually that breaks a franchise record for the most losses in their entire history of the Chicago White Sox. So congratulations to the White Sox on being some of the biggest losers that we've ever seen. As a matter of fact, they are currently on a 10-game losing streak, which right now this is their third time this season going into double digits on a losing streak. Of course, they had the 21-game losing streak, which was also one of those, they tied a record for that one. And then they went on a 14-game losing streak, and now they are currently on a 10-game losing streak. We'll see where they're at on Friday show if they just keep that losing streak up. Maybe they can, we still have a whole month left of baseball, so maybe they can actually beat that 21-game losing streak and maybe break that record there too. But definitely look at the Chicago White Sox as potentially being the worst team that baseball has ever produced in the history of baseball, which says a lot. All right, and moving on to football, because football season officially begins Thursday night. We have the Baltimore Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Super Bowl defending champs, of course, always begin the season on Thursday night football. Last year, they actually did get beat by the Detroit Lions, so that can happen, but for the most part, usually the defending champs tend to get a pretty solid win. Now, this is going to be a good matchup. This is a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game between the Ravens and the Chiefs. So in this week's game, the Chiefs right now are favored by 2.5 points. So that tells you it's going to be a pretty close one, or at least that's what we're all expecting. It is the first week of the season, so I expect to see quite a bit of sloppy football from everybody because all the teams are still kind of figuring things out. They're still working on plays. Nobody plays the preseason really anymore. So the first month of football tends to be pretty sloppy. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see that all weekend, but I wouldn't be shocked if we see that in this game in particular, even though both of these teams pretty much similar to last year, except for the Baltimore Ravens actually loaded up on the running back position, and now they have Derrick Henry in the backfield. They were already the top ground team in the league the last, 3, 4, 5 years. Baltimore has led the league in rushing, and I expect them to do that again this year. If Derrick Henry's able to stay healthy, if Lamar Jackson's able to stay healthy, you really got to watch out for this team on the ground. That is for sure. Derrick Henry is a beast. So I expect him to really take the load off of Lamar Jackson having to run as well. I'm sure he's still going to, of course, do what he needs to do when he has to, but I think for the most part, Derrick Henry's going to be shouldering that load for now. The Chiefs, on the other hand, I feel like they also got better on the offensive side of the ball, which says a lot, because last year they actually weren't a powerhouse. They did, of course, win the Super Bowl because they are a good team, but I'm just saying, offensively, they didn't have a lot of really superstar players outside of Mahomes and Kelsey. But this year, I think they made a huge, huge pickup by drafting Xavier Worthy, who I think is definitely going to take over the number one wide receiver role there. I'm a Texas Longhorns fan, so I've had an up-close and personal look at his career through college, and I felt like he was always going to translate well into the NFL, and now he's going to be with the Chiefs, so this is a great spot for him to go, and I feel like he's actually going to fit right in with this team and really provide a huge spark for them offensively, as if they really needed more of that. But with that being said, I'm leaning towards the Chiefs in this matchup simply because they are the defending champs. They are the home team. And I just usually expect the home team to come out and have a pretty solid game. So I have the Chiefs winning a close one, 24-20. Now let's get to my end of my NFL season predictions and how I believe the playoffs are going to shape up, and ultimately who I think is going to win Super Bowl 59 this year. Now, let me start with, when I come to my playoff predictions, it is not a lot of thought into it. It is pretty much just pick this team, pick that team, because it's all made up and it doesn't really matter anyway. So who the fuck cares? But like I said, not a lot of thought goes into it, but I actually did kind of chuckle once I got to the end because I was like, damn, I wasn't really expecting to get there, but I did. So let's see how I believe the 2024 NFL season is going to end up in the playoffs. Beginning with the NFC, I have the number one seed as Green Bay Packers going 13-4. I have the number two seed as my Dallas Cowboys going 12-5. I have the number three seed San Francisco 49ers going 12-5. I have the number four seed New Orleans Saints going 10-7. I have the number five seed Detroit Lions going 11-6. Number six seed Los Angeles Rams going 10-7. And then number seven seed the Philadelphia Eagles going 9-8. Then on the AFC side of things, I have the number one seed Houston Texans going 13-4. I have number two seed Cincinnati Bengals going 12-5. I have number three seed Kansas City Chiefs going 11-6. Number four seed New York Jets going 11-6. Number five seed Baltimore Ravens going 10-7. Number six seed Buffalo Bills going 10-7. And then number seven seed Jacksonville Jaguars going 10-7. So my wild card matchups on the NFC side of things, I have the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys. You know I'm picking the Cowboys in that matchup. I have the Los Angeles Rams facing off against the San Francisco 49ers, going with the Niners in that matchup. And then I have the Detroit Lions versus the New Orleans Saints, and I'd be going with Detroit in that matchup. On the AFC side of things, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Cincinnati Bengals. I have the Bengals winning that one. Then the Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I have the Buffalo Bills upsetting the Chiefs in that one. And then the Baltimore Ravens versus the New York Jets. I have the Baltimore Ravens winning that one. Then in the divisional round, I have the Detroit Lions versus the Green Bay Packers. I have the Packers winning that matchup. And then the San Francisco 49ers versus my Dallas Cowboys, in which I have them finally getting some revenge. And I have the Cowboys winning that matchup. Then on the AFC side, I have the Buffalo Bills versus the Houston Texans. I have Buffalo getting that win. And then I have the Baltimore Ravens versus the Cincinnati Bengals. And in that matchup, I have the Bengals getting that win. So my NFC conference championship looks like the Dallas Cowboys versus the Green Bay Packers. And of course, I'm going with my Dallas Cowboys in that matchup. And my AFC conference championship is the Buffalo Bills versus the Cincinnati Bengals. And I have the Cincinnati Bengals moving on to the Super Bowl. So my Super Bowl 59 matchup is the Dallas Cowboys versus the Cincinnati Bengals. And when it comes to that, who do you think I am picking there? I am, of course, picking my Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. And I know you're all laughing, but guess what? It is the beginning of the season. And like I said, I really didn't put any thought into this. I pretty much just picked as the matchups went. And I was like, you know what? That's how I'm going with it. Because I do actually think Dak is going to play his ass off this year, especially with no contract at this point in time. But the better he plays, the better his offseason goes next year. I mean, it's going to go great anyways, but I mean, he will have tons of leverage if he wins the Super Bowl. I feel like it's going to be the kind of the same thing for Mike McCarthy, and I just actually think this team's going to put it together for once. And then turning to the Cincinnati Bengals, I think it's basically the same thing. I look at Joe Burrow, I think he's going to have a healthy year, and when he has a healthy year, this team is actually one of the best in the league. They have a lot of weapons offensively. They have a really good defense. I think they're one of probably going to end up being one of the best defenses in the league. I would say a top 10 defense for sure. And I just look at both of those teams and I go, yeah, I can see them both representing each side there for Super Bowl 59. So how about that, y'all? Super Bowl 59, Dallas Cowboys versus the Cincinnati Bengals with my Cowboys winning it all. All right, y'all. Thursday night football. Enjoy it. And then also a reminder that next week, since it is now officially football season, next week we will be getting three shows during the week. So I will, of course, have Monday and Friday shows as I normally do. And then, of course, be adding the Wednesday shows as I normally do during football season. So we could do my top 10 NFL power rankings every Wednesday. So that is what we have to look forward to next week. But enjoy the rest of the week of football. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports. But most certainly enjoy Thursday night football. And I will talk to you fools on Friday.